Adado was the oldest of three sons born to Jack and Malka Adado of blessed memory. He was born January 4th, 1945, while Jack was still stationed in the Philippines during World War II. Larry told me the story that Dad recited his parts of Alan's Pidyon Haben on a shortwave radio while still in the Philippines. From an early age, Alan showed leadership qualities. School crossing patrol was a special duty in those days. As Larry put it, the cool kids were elected lieutenants, but the real kids, the really cool kids, they were captains. And naturally, Alan was a captain. EBYMC, the Ezra Beserath Young Men's Club. Alan was a star third baseman, and he could smack the ball out of the park, and they went on to win the city championship. Alan graduated Franklin in 1962, graduating a year early thanks to 2 years at Talmud Torah, and he was described as more advanced than his peers. He was the manager of the Franklin football team, where he lettered in football. It's probably the closest that most of us get to being successful in sports. At a time when most people were getting drafted and trying to get exemptions and deferrals, Alan's leadership really stood out as he volunteered to serve in the Army. In basic training, certain recruits were identified as leaders with a band with 1, 2, or even 3 stripes. And naturally, Alan was a 3-stripe leader. He served for almost 3 years in Vietnam. Alan, in his self-deprecating style, would joke until he had a cushy desk job thanks to his great typing skills he learned at Franklin. However, in more serious conversations, he told us that he also flew on special missions that he couldn't tell us about because they were classified, and even said that they were scary. He received a Bronze Star, which is given for distinguished service and heroism. After Vietnam, he came home and worked in wholesale jewelry in downtown for Mayer Brothers and Simon Golub Wholesalers for almost 40 years. He was active in Toastmasters for decades, learning the art of public speaking, and building friendships and self-confidence along the way. This was his routine every Monday night. Each speech, there was always a critic who had to say one nice thing. One time, Alan recounted, he didn't give a great speech. And again, in only Alan's self-deprecating style, he reported that the critic said, "Alan, nice tie." Alan took care of his parents in their old age so well. He was admired in the community as the epitome of fulfilling the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av Va'em. Alan's father was diagnosed with MS early on in life, and as his degenerative disease slowly got progressively worse with Dad, Alan took on more and more of the responsibilities of taking care of him. From the time that Mom passed away in 1996 to 2008, Alan single-handedly took care of Dad, feeding him, bathing him, dressing him, bringing him to Carl every Shabbat. Alan was a loyal and dedicated member of the Sephardic Brotherhood for over 40 years. Just last year, the Brotherhood recognized Alan's service and dedicated him with a gold leaf at the synagogue, a plaque at the cemetery, and being made a life member. And we'll hear more about that from Ben Babani. Even in the last years, with his physical decline, Alan still turned up to Carl every Shabbat and went to Larry and Sharon for Friday night dinner. Throughout his life, Alan never missed a Ta'anit Bechor. When he made a religious commitment, he was steadfast to keep to it. We have a teaching in Pirkei Avot. It's the second Mishnah of Pirkei Avot, and it says as follows. Shimon HaTzadik, Hayami Sharei Cheneset HaGedola. Shimon HaTzadik, Simon the Just, he was the last, he was on the remnant of the men of the Great Assembly. Hu Haya Omer, and he would often say the following saying, Al Shlosha Devarim HaOlam Omed. Upon 3 things the world stands, Al HaTorah, Ba'al HaAvodah, Ba'al Gimilut Chasadim. On Torah, on service, and acts of kindness. Alan's world stood on these three principles. Alan's Torah was his commitment to coming to Carl every Friday night and every Shabbat morning, always going to Larry and Sharon's Shabbat table, being present. When he made a religious commitment, he kept to it no matter what. Alan's service was his commitment to serve in the armed forces, his dedication earning him a Bronze Star. Alan's acts of kindness, his chesed, was his devotion to his parents, especially to his father, and his years of dedication to the community, to the Sephardic Brotherhood. I want to mention Larry and Sharon. They have been Alan's rock, both for the good times and in the last years in Alan's struggles. We talk about Kibbud Av and Kibbud Em, but the Pasuk says, Kabed et avicha ve et imecha. The Gemara Ketubot, Daf Kuf Gimel, derives from the extra letter in this verse, the Vav, in the word ve et. The one must also show honor to one's older brother. Larry, you epitomize what it means to show kavod to one's older brother. These last years, we have watched with admiration how you and Sharon have taken care of Alan, making sure he always had dignity, and that Alan lived his life his way. Tehe nishmato tzura betzurachim beGan Eden, amen, ken yehi ratzon. We're going to hear from Alan's nieces and nephews, those who called him Uncle Al. We're going to hear from Yaakov first.
Thank you very much. This is my first time, so everyone's going to have to go easy on me. Rabbi Hassan just mentioned that he was known affectionately to everyone as Uncle Al. And he already had, Alan is already spelled a bit of a unique way, A-L-L-Y-N. But Uncle Al is already, you should also know, is one word, U-N-K-L-A-L. So in case you need to know how to spell it, Uncle Al, one word. And I think that if you were to ever have this cliched idea of what an uncle is supposed to be, what he's supposed to look like, what he's supposed to do, Uncle Al was that. And I'm not talking about the mustache, and I'm sure the mustache is going to come up a fair number of times. But he was the one who would always liven up any family gathering. He was a person who was there. He brought personality to the conversation. It's a unique role that people have to have in every family. People think of it as kind of a funny cliche, but I think it's an important thing that he did. Speaking from my own personal memories, I remember that he was the one who you always looked forward to the presence from him. I remember there was one Hanukkah, I think I was probably about 10, and we were giving out presents, and I remember I got, as my 10-year-old, I don't remember who it was from, but somebody gave me a sweater. And that wasn't terribly exciting. But then it was Uncle Al's turn, and I remember he got me my first set of baseball cards. I remember it to this day. It was the set of baseball cards for each of the Baseball Hall of Famers at the time. And that really got me for my love at the time, for when I had my love baseball card collecting. It's not something I do today, but at the time, it was very meaningful. And I think that's important, that he knew how to really give people what they ultimately want. It wasn't just the question of, you know, love and affection, but that was certainly that. He wanted to be the doting uncle. And I think that's a role that he, I think, played to perfection. As I look around, there's people from all walks of life, different levels of involvement of the community. It's a great thing. And you all knew Uncle Al to varying degrees. And I think it's important that for someone who didn't have, he wasn't blessed with children of his own, but He made everyone part of his family. We spoke about, it was mentioned briefly, it's going to be mentioned again, his dedication to the Sephardic Brotherhood. And it was his way. If you ever got him into conversation, the things that he would really get passionate about, there were some things that we all get passionate about, you know, football and stuff. But getting him, when he would really talk about the Sephardic community, that's when you really saw the passion in him come alive. And the reason for that is I think that he took upon himself to make the community, to make them his family. And that's what all of you are here today. You are coming here not just as family friends, but as family. And I think that's a wonderful thing. Thank you.
Okay.
On behalf of my father and my parents, I'm going to read something short that my father asked me to share. I want to thank all of you and Rabbi Hassan for attending either live here or on Zoom. I appreciate your taking your time to honor and memorialize my brother Alan. Never in my life has somebody ever told me to talk louder. And I want to thank the medical staff and administration of Klein Gallen Home for the care and comfort you provided Alan in the last few months of his life. In spite of Alan's cabeza dura, hard-headedness, you saw the positive and persevered to do everything you can to help Alan improve. Thank you. Thank you to the Seattle Sephardic Brotherhood Board for existing in the first place and being a source of meaningful experiences, and more importantly, for all the honor and the honors you've given Alan towards the end of his life. I want to thank Jerry Linskog, Linda and Alan Israeli, and Ellen Lashansky for being the close, loving, dear, caring friends in his life. And I want to thank Alan. Because of him, instead of spending 1 week in June in Seattle visiting, his sickness caused me to spend the entire 3 months of summer with him every day, and also with my wonderful SBH and Seattle Jewish community, and in beautiful Seattle itself. God works in wonderful ways to fulfill your very deepest needs. And to my big brother, Alan, I love you. Rest in peace. These are my words. I want to start off by thanking you all for coming here today to honor the memory of Uncle Al. Each person here represents a different part of who he was. You each hold a story or a piece of a story, and we're grateful that you have come together to share in his final chapter. I also want to thank all the people who helped care for Uncle Al over the past years, and especially over the past weeks and months, to the team at Klein Gallen, and especially Kate, for your everlasting kindness. And to my parents, who took care of Uncle Al, worried about him, provided for him, and always set a place for the table for him, and gave of your whole selves to support him. We know it wasn't always easy, but we are here truly thankful. Vayelech Moshe. Moshe went to give his final speech to the Jewish people as they are on the banks of the Jordan River. In his final moments, Moshe passes the baton to his successor Joshua and shares his final reflections and messages with the people that he faithfully led for 40 years. And as part of his last speech, we read the final commandment that is given to the Jewish people to write the Torah down, to make sure that the words don't live in memory, but that they continue to live on as a sacred scroll wrapped up and placed in the Ark. So Uncle Al, in our final moments together, I want to try to capture some of our memories together in hopes that they remain part of our Torah, our family scroll, and placed inside of our minds and in our hearts. Dear Uncle Al, you were someone who could be spotted in a crowd, easily identified because of your handlebar mustache. Everyone knew when you were there because of it. But what I would like to share with everyone today is who you were when no one else was looking. At your core, you were a caregiver, looking out for other people and helping them as best you could. I watched you carefully care for Papu every minute of every day. I remember when Papu fell and broke his hip, and then when he had a stroke. Use these moments to care for Papu even more. literally helping him eat his food because his right side was limited by the MS and his left side was newly paralyzed because of the stroke. You didn't just look to make him comfortable. You looked to make him fulfilled, taking care of him both physically and spiritually, saying Kabbalat Shabbat with him at each Friday night and bringing him to call every single Shabbat and Chag. You made sure that he could live his life, and it was because of you. And it wasn't just Prabhu. You took your time to make each of us feel special, looking for moments of connection with each of us in our own ways. I remember being a little girl and looking forward to football season. Back when the Seahawks played in the Kingdom, you had season tickets. A couple games a year were our games. We would park in the special secret parking lot that only you knew about, or that's what I thought when I was six, and get to our seats in time to cheer on our team. I have no idea whether the Seahawks won or lost, but the Seahawks in the early 90s in the Kingdom, they likely lost. What I remember was how you made me feel. You took the time to explain the game, brought me into believing in a team, shared these moments with me, and built memories of what it means to be a fan. You taught me that being a caregiver is that you have to be right there with the person, creating the experience together and living in the moment. And then came our shared love of food. Sunday was all about barbecue. You were masterful in how you created your own sauce with just a hint of French dressing, and the patience you showed in grilling up the burgers or the hot dogs or the chicken. Wednesday night was avikas, using the special pressure cooker from Noni and taking an entire day to make something that was truly the labor of love. And then there was Friday night dinner, which always had Brenner Brothers challah and plenty of guacamole. And as I got older, these meals became our thing. I would come back from college and ask you for barbecue night, Sunday, sometimes even on Tuesdays. We would eat and clean up and play cribbage for hours, catching up on whatever you had missed while I was away. You were willing to put me in my place when I was totally out of line, and you were truly happy seeing me happy, growing up and figuring out what my life would look like. Uncle Al, you saw me, you loved me, you relished in just watching me grow up, proud of who I'd become. You believed that everything would work out, and you knew it. You made sure I knew it. That's what it means to be a caregiver, believing in the best of those who you love. Uncle Al, you were never prouder than when you retired your Uncle Al hat for Grunklaw. You relished in seeing the next generation of Adados, Poppers, and Shuffas. Last night, I asked my husband Danny and my kids Ami and Shira what they wanted me to share with our community about you. Shira told me that you always made her feel special. You were like another dad. Ami had a moment where he just looked at me and said, I miss him. And Danny reminded me that it's because of you that our sukkah has lights. That's who you are, someone who made things happen behind the scenes, helping chop the veggies, run errands, pick us up from the airport when we were coming to visit and Uber wasn't yet a thing, magically making challah and avocados appear on our counter for Shabbat dinner, and literally bringing over the light so that we could see our food in the sukkah. You truly were a caregiver who was osek b'tzarchei tzibor, making sure that other people had what they needed, because that's who you were, someone who takes care of those around you, whether it was your biological family or your community. You were there to make things a little easier for all of us. Many of you know that Uncle Al had nicknames for all of us, and each nickname needed to be approved by my mom before they became official, because at the end of the day, Uncle Al was still Uncle Al, pushing those boundaries a little bit, or a lot. From the time I can remember, Uncle Al always called me Junior. I was Malka Adado Junior, an easy way to know if people were talking about me or my grandmother. But long after my grandmother passed away, I was still Junior. As I got older, I also started making nicknames for people I was close to. My closest friends, my kids, Danny. Uncle Al, I learned this trick from you. If you want to make someone feel loved, find a way to have something just between the two of you. No one else in this world calls me Junior. It was our thing. It was the way I knew you were talking to me. Uncle Al, my memories of you are moments in time woven together. Moments from when I was a little girl and moments from my adult life. Memories that are not just stories, but feelings. On Erev Rosh Hashanah, I called you at Kleingap. Your caretaker picked up the phone and we were able to talk for a few minutes. I asked you if you were going to call and you said no. And then I asked you if you were going to be eating prasa with sugar and you said no, but you also laughed. The laugh is our last moment together in this world. So now, as you go to your final resting place, please put in a good word for us. Continue to help me create moments like you and I shared with other people, with family, and with community. because this is truly your Torah, the story of you. I love you and miss you, but I'm comforted to know that you are playing cribbage with Tony, Papa, and Uncle Joe, and coming up with new and approved nicknames for all of us. To your Uncle Al. Since the day I was born, you've been a calm, fun, and loving presence in my life. As a baby, you made it your mission to make me smile and laugh. You would hold me and bounce me on your lap. I can feel the broad smile you would give me when you walked into our home and knew, I knew, that's my uncle who loves me. Even when I was scared by the animal on your upper lip, you weren't offended or upset. Instead, you gave me some space and you tried to connect a few minutes later. As a young kid, we connected over meals, sometimes at our home, sometimes at your home, often having something to do with avicas con arroz or barbecue lamb chops. I remember thinking around age 8 or 9, geez, Uncle Al, you sure are a different kind of guy. How many other uncles show up to synagogue on time for every Shabbat and holiday service, dressed to the nines, pink sweater, brown polo shirt, green pants, a white kippah, and the best part is black slides. Turn to me and say, Shabbat Shalom, goof. How do I look? You knew, Uncle Al, you knew. You knew you looked stellar from top to bottom, and it always made me smile. The deep down, joyous kind of smile that just emanates straight from the bottom of my heart. I always noticed that you were different in that way that you just showed up. You showed up always in this very consistent way. Every Friday, you showed up with the same challah and avocados. And when my mom offered you some warm homemade challah, you pointed to the Brenner's challah and said, this is my guy, I'll stick with this kind. You showed up in the way that you took care of your dad, my papu, who was wheelchair bound and reliant on others for his daily support. Uncle Al, you didn't just take care of papu, you took care of others who lost loved ones right here along with the Sephardic Brotherhood. I remember you first told me about the Sephardic Brotherhood, and I had just finished reading the Da Vinci Code, and I thought to myself, yeah, my uncle's a part of some secret society. He doesn't talk about it because it's some sort of bro code, but I'm gonna crack that code one day and figure out what the society is. I was even more convinced about this magic Harry Potter situation when I found out that you served in the army during the Vietnam War. I asked you about it one day, mustering up all of my courage to talk about something that I felt was kind of sensitive, and you responded very clear and flat, we're not talking about it, Hannah. Instead of being offended or upset, maybe even insulted, I thought to myself, yep, he's a part of an underground society. As an adult, I became more inquisitive and also a bit braver. I remember plotting to ask you certain questions, wondering if you were gonna just knock them out, not even respond, or maybe one day you would actually respond. And I started asking you questions. Why do you like Asiago cheese? It smells so bad. Why do you smoke cigarettes, Uncle Al? what was your life like as a kid? And I almost always got the exact same question, because I do. And you thought that would pull my questions, but I just kept going on. Why do you have a mustache, Uncle Al? Will you ever shave it off? Nope, he would say. And I decided one day I was gonna go for it. Why? Why won't you ever shave off your mustache? Why won't you get, what's the deal? And finally he shared. He shared with me that in the Army, everything was about the rules. There was a little handbook. You told me, Uncle Al, you had to read it and abide it cover to cover. You told me it told you you had to walk in a certain way, you eat in a certain way, and act in combat, even how to dress and look. Those were the rules. The rules also stated no facial hair shall lie on your face, higher than your nose, lower than your lip, and from side to side to your lips. And you told me that you had to follow those rules, but you defied them by making it go off of your face. Now, as somebody who grew up in the Adado rule-abiding home, I could not have had more respect for you than I did in that very moment. You could do no wrong to me for the remainder of my life with just that one story. Uncle Al, the rest of our life together was filled with short phone calls, deep hugs, birthday cards with inappropriate jokes that I didn't get most of the time, weekly highlights, mismatching clothing, the classic laughter that will never, ever leave my mind. But most of all, it was filled with love. Only in the past few years did you actually start saying the words, I love you. But you showed me love each and every day, near and far. I will miss your golden eyes, your dedicated personality, your gratitude, but most of all, the depth of your heart. You should feel comfort today by the family that is here, laughing and giggling in who you are and who you've been here on this earth. And I hope that you are welcomed by the family and the loved ones waiting for you in Shemayim.
Everybody to know I'm setting a stop watch so that I don't go over a few minutes. I also was considering wearing slides, but when you have to leave a hurricane, kind of just pull what you can. This past Tuesday, we read the Akedah Yitzchak on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. To quickly sum it up, TLDR, Abraham Avinu was told by God to sacrifice the most precious thing in his life, his son Yitzchak. Without hesitation, he did what he was told by his creator, Avinu Malkeinu, Ribono Shel Olam, God Almighty. Take a step back for a second, and I'm sure that people's teachers have asked them to picture this scenario and put yourself in Abraham's shoes. Imagine taking the thing or person that is most precious in your life and giving it up to God. To take it a step further, understand that at that time in the world, the concept of monotheism was a relatively new idea, and people didn't understand it, let alone fully buy into this foreign, wacky idea. So this crazy guy, Avraham, who smashed all his father's idols, walked out of a fiery pit unscathed, left with his wife and others to a faraway land that is that this being has told him to go to, converses with this monotheistic being on the daily, and has all his public, and all this is public knowledge over Facebook at the time, by the way. At that time, they might have called it face scroll, but who knows. He then gives himself and every male around him a circumcision. Now has another conversation with God, who tells him to sacrifice his precious beloved son. Like, picture that for a second. Like, that's pretty crazy. After everything that Abraham and Sarah had been through, the barren years, the issue with Hagar and Ishmael, not to mention the whole story of Abimelech, to then, without question and hesitation, goes out and does what he is told. Seems like a whole bunch of Baba Jadas, if you ask me. Now, forget the ending of the whole story and how everything worked out all right, but when I read this the other day, the first thing that came to mind was the concept of being a loyal soldier and obeying orders and understanding that his general has the knowledge, experience, and wisdom to know right from wrong. My uncle Alan, whose Hebrew name was Avraham, was that exact person as well. Not only was he a loyal soldier to his country, but to his family, specifically taking care of his parents, Mainoni and Papu, Malka and Jakadado. He was loyal to his synagogue, the Seattle Sephardic Brotherhood, to his amazing, iconic mustache that he's had since Nam, and more. Uncle Al understood and carried out his duties to the best of his abilities and was a true Ben Adam. He truly was someone who I looked up to, and will continue to look up to on a daily basis. He spent his years tirelessly attending to my grandfather, Jakadado, as many have talked about before, making sure he was taken care of, showered, shaved, fed, when he wasn't capable of doing these simple things himself. He is a true example of a Yishu Bueno, and there are very few out there that actually perform this amazing mitzvah of Kibud Av Va'em. Some quick things that come to mind about Uncle Al, or his army-given name of Abby Jack, are that he was the best barbecue in the Adato family. Sorry, Abba, but we can all admit it now. He had the passion for making the best guac with extra lemon for the warm Brenner's challah he brought over every week, or getting ice for the Friday night dinner table, and also harmonizing with my dad during every kiddush. Why? Because that's how Dad did it. He always had the time when he picked up the phone. Hello, how you doing? Whenever I called him every week before Shabbat, he'd even have that old school phone nowadays that you can even pick up in the middle of a voicemail. Love talking about the Seahawks. He'd always end our conversation, make sure to give a big hug and kiss to Natalie and the babes for me. He always remembered birthdays and sending emails every week with classic jokes, some I will not repeat on here. As a baby, I used to be scared whenever I saw him because of the mustache. But he kept pushing to make sure that cry turned into a laugh. I want to thank all of you guys for coming here. I specifically want to thank my parents, Dr. Larry and Sharon Adato, who just spent the entire summer making sure that Uncle Al was attended to and taken care of. As I'm sure you can all imagine, seeing the decline of a loved one is no easy task. My parents truly did everything they could to help Uncle Al, especially these past few months. From going to the summit and the climb, cleaning up and selling his house, to multiple daily check-ins to see how his therapy was going, they too share the same loyalty and love that Uncle Al showed every day. So thank you. I also want to thank my siblings. This is the nicknames that he gave all of us. Yaakov, Chooch, Malka, Junior, and Hana, Goofy, who rushed over here from all corners of North America and dropped everything to be here. I'm now realizing, now that I have a family, it's not as easy as it sounds to just hop on a plane, especially for situations like this. So thank you all for being here. And to Uncle Al, I hope you know how much I love you and miss you. I blew through a hurricane to get here, and I wish I would have come sooner under different circumstances. And I'm sorry that Natalie and I weren't able to introduce you to our daughter Sarah and show you her beautiful smile in person. You gave the best hugs and always loved to crack jokes. I truly cannot believe that this day has come. I'll miss you, and I love you. May his soul be bound up in the bond of life. Tie nishmato tzura b'tzura chayim.
Hello, everyone. Hana, I've been on the Brotherhood board for 25 years, and I'm still trying to crack the code. Larry, thank you for letting me say a few words. I just thought it so important. Alan had such deep, deep ties to the Brotherhood that I really wanted to just say a few words about him. On behalf of all of my colleagues, my fellow Brotherhood board members, many of whom are here today to pay respects to Alan. It just overwhelms me. Everything you see here in the chapel or when you observe what the Brotherhood does, everything really Alan had a hand in. I like to come here early and kind of get things ready. When I grabbed the container of yarmulkes to take out front, it hit me. Alan used to order those. When I got the Shiva candle out, Alan would always say, it's time to reorder more. Just literally everything, little things that no one often knew about, but he and I were in contact daily. He was just that type of guy. He had his hand in everything we did. Joe, there was a time some years back when we updated our constitution and bylaws, and you and I and Alan were involved in that, but truthfully, Alan did most of the work. It's just how he was. If you look out here to the unused land we have, we do a constant analysis of how many plots we have left for all of our members, and Alan did all of that for us. He used to say he was technically ignorant or challenged, but he He knew his way around an Excel spreadsheet, that's for sure. And he was always keeping us up to date on how things were out here as far as how much space and land we have. Just yesterday, I sent Al Maiman a spreadsheet of the Pioneer Cemetery because we will be going there Sunday for the pilgrimage. And that it hit me as I was hitting the send button, that spreadsheet Alan had made for us. He literally had a hand in everything that the Brotherhood did and does. And so we will always remember him. I'm the one who checks our messages with our answering service. And I hear Alan's voice on the recording. I mean, he set up our answering service. The bills I pay monthly, a lot of them still have his name on them. That's just to show you how active he was. And the Brotherhood wouldn't be here, I don't think, in the way we are today without all of his hard work over so many years. I think over 40 years. When Larry called me, I think it was in July, to let me know, Alan was in Klein at this time and he wasn't talking much, but Larry said, Alan wants to talk to you. So we arranged a phone call and Alan told me that he needed to retire from the Brotherhood board after all this time. So I reluctantly accepted, and I immediately went to our board and we talked about how to properly honor. How do you honor a man who has just given his life to this organization? And so we decided on three things. We had a plaque made. John Calvo and I went to see him at Klein on behalf of the board, and we presented Alan with a plaque designating him as an honorary trustee of the Brotherhood board. He wasn't saying a lot, and honestly, he would doze off. Maybe I was boring him, I think, that day, because he dozed off a lot. But I could see when he was awake, he had a look in his eyes, the look that I remember, and he looked me in the eye, and I really think he understood and appreciated the gesture that the Brotherhood board had done to honor him. We also, as the rabbi said, SBH was his synagogue for his whole life, so we donated a gold leaf to the Tree of Life, honoring his years of service. And then lastly, and I wanted to mention this so you can all see it, but we engraved a plaque on the wall just to the west of the parking lot. We engraved a plaque there in Alan's name, recognizing his many years of service, and you can all go look at it when you leave. All of these things I at least hoped would be a living tribute. We even had thoughts that perhaps we could drive him out here and have him see the plaque and honor him in person, but sadly that didn't happen. So now these things that we did are a memorial to him, but there'll be a lasting memorial. That is literally etched in stone, his name, showing the gratitude that we have for him for all that he did for the community. Not just the Brotherhood, but when you say the Brotherhood, it's the community. We serve the greater community. So that's what I wanted to convey to you. And Alan, there were times when we worked together on the Brotherhood and spoke on a daily basis. And I'll miss that work with you. And more importantly, I'll miss your friendship. So I just say, God bless you and rest in peace. Thank you.